Hello, I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I know today that if you'll stay tuned to God's Word, that this broadcast will encourage your heart, because I want to share from the Word of God. And as I've said so many times on my broadcast, the Bible is not just a book, but it's the living Word of God. And when you get in the Word of God, it's going to bring health to your body. It's going to bring joy to your soul. And it has solutions, and God has a remedy for whatever ails you today. It makes no difference what your problem is. God is able to take care of it if you'll let Him. But first, let's pray. Father, in the sweet name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you reach down in the midst of your people today and encourage their hearts. Lord, we know we live in a troublesome time in the land that we're in now. Things are not looking good on every hand. But, Lord, we have to get our eyes off the circumstance and look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. I know, God, that you've said in your word that the Lord said he would never leave us and he would never forsake us. And we know that when the master of the sea, the master of the storm, the master of the trial and the tribulation is standing with us, we have nothing to be afraid of. For so many times in your word, you told us to fear not. And Lord, help us to walk in that today and believe you. And Lord, I pray today, if there be one under the sound of my voice that do not know you as Lord and Savior, I ask that you give them revelation knowledge that they must be born again. And let them realize the only way into you, God the Father, is through your Son, Jesus Christ. And by the shedding of his precious blood, we have remission of sins. And we pray now for our nation and our leaders of our country, and ask God that you have mercy on America, and God send revival to our land. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to talk about what is this among so many. And I want to read out of the book of John, John chapter 6, and I want to start in verse 3. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there are set his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? In this portion of Scripture, the Bible says that the Passover feast was nigh to the Jews. It wasn't going to be long at this time before the Passover was to take place. And during the Passover, the Jews would remind themselves and remember how God delivered them out of Egypt, and how by putting the blood of the lamb on the doorpost spared them from the death angel that passed over, and the firstborn was spared, and how that they marched up out of Egypt with unleavened bread in their possession, and how they marched out of Egypt with the wealth of Egypt in their possession, and God had delivered them, and it was a time of remembrance and a time to praise God. But even though they were getting ready to celebrate Passover, they could not see that the very Lamb of God was standing in their midst that day, that the very bread of life was standing in their midst, and the very Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, was standing in their midst. How many times have we gone to church to celebrate an event and don't realize that the very living Word of God is in our midst? The Lord Jesus Christ is there to bless us. We get to looking at the rituals, and we get to looking at the commemoration, and we forget who and what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. But when he saw the multitude come, and in Mark chapter 6, verse 38, giving a record of the same incident, Jesus said he sent them out to see what they had. And they came back, and all they could find, and it's hard to believe that amongst the 5,000 men and women and children being there, all they could find is 1 sack lunch. That kind of makes me think maybe they didn't look enough. And sometimes, you know, the Lord sends you out to see what you already have. And when they bought it back, they said, you know, of course, we don't have enough money to buy everybody where they could just get a little bit. If we took this much money, they could just get a little. And, you know, that's what the world wants to give you right now, just a little. The devil wants to give you just a little. But God's got more in store than just a little. Oh, I love that. Amen. The Lord's not going to give you just a little. He'll give you pressed down, running over abundance. He gives us abundance. And he said this to prove him, because the scripture says that he knew what he, Jesus said, he said, I know, he said, because he knew what he was going to do. He just wanted to prove them. Let me tell you, the Lord will put you in a situation to see what's really in your heart. They were looking at a sack lunch when the bread of life was standing in front of them. They were looking at a sack lunch saying, well, what is this among so many? When the bread of life, the giver of life, the Lord Jesus Christ was standing right in front of them. The all-sufficient one was there with them in the midst, and all they could see was a sack lunch. All they could see was a bank account that wasn't big enough to do the job. And that's the condition of man today. They're looking at the sack lunches. They're looking at the bank accounts. And they're saying, what is this among so many? It's not enough to do the job. It's not enough to give what we need. And they have the one with them that is able to supply their every need. I'm talking to people right now. You sit around all the time talking about what you don't have. I don't have this, and I don't have this, and I don't have that, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. And if you have the Lord Jesus, you got all you need. No matter, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the Bible says that all the rest of these things will be added unto you. But we got our eyes on a sack lunch. We counting the biscuits, and we counting the fish. We counting the multitude, and we adding them up together, and they don't measure out. But let me tell you, the Bible says right here, when they put it in the Lord's hand, He took what they had, and He broke it, and He blessed it, and as He began to break it and pass it out, it was enough to feed everybody as much as they would have, as much as they would have, and then they had 12 baskets left over. That's what the Lord can do. If you'll take your lunch, if you'll take your bank account, if you take your children, if you take your husband, your wife, you put it in the hands of the Lord, He can take care of it, He can break it, He can bless it, and He can make it be enough to do the job. So many times we're worried about this, and we're worried about that, and we're looking at this, you're looking at the sack lunch, and you're not looking at Jesus. I want you to quit looking at the lack that you got in your life and start looking at the supplier of all you need. He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I don't care what needs you have today. I don't care what you're facing today. I serve a God that's big enough to do the job. I serve a God that wants to bless you. I serve a God that wants to meet your every need. I serve a God that wants to take care of you, and He wants you to go see what you have. It might look small in the eyes of man, but when God gets a hold of it, it's big enough to do the job. I want you to realize today that there's no such a thing as a hopeless case in the sight of God. When God takes care of a situation, it's not hopeless anymore. It's not insufficient. Have you ever went to the bank or wrote a check and it come up insufficient funds? That's what a lot of people are living off today, insufficient funds. You always going to have insufficiency in your life when you leave Jesus out. When you're always looking at the problem, you're always looking at the sack lunch. You always count your biscuits and your fish, and you're worried about this and you're worried about that. When you put Him first and you serve the Lord with all your heart, when it comes supper time, He'll see you got something to eat. When it comes time to pay your bills, He'll see to it that you got money in the bank to take care of your bills. God is able, but you can't limit Him. This word says here, He asked them these questions to see what, to prove them, to see what was in their heart, because He knew what He was going to do. Let me tell you, Jesus knows what He's going to do. It's not a surprise to Him that multitude come up. It wasn't a shock to Him that He was going to look up and see all these people coming. He knew what He was going to do because He knew God His Father. Oh, I tell you what, we need to know what we're going to do. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. I'm not going to walk in my own statutes. I'm going to walk in His statutes.
I don't want to go down the path that I choose because I choose the wrong path. I want to choose the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Go the path that God leads me. And it said here that when he had took that lunch and he told them first, he said, make the men sit down and watch and see what I'm going to do. Sit down and watch and see how I'm going to bless the people today. And it was more coming than just this lunch. It was more to it than he was going to show them. And when you read over in this chapter of 6 in the book of John, he goes on and later he tells them that he is the bread that come down from God the Father. He said, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they all died. But if you partake of the bread and the living water that I have, you won't ever die. Let me tell you, God is telling us that when we give our life to Jesus, it's more than just one sack lunch. It's more than just one helping. He's got eternal life for us. We won't perish because we have life in him. And you've got to know that today more than you ever have before. And then he went on to tell them, his disciples, and he had others following him. He said, let me tell you, if you don't partake of my flesh and drink of my blood, you can't be born again. You can't be saved. You can't have eternal life. And the Bible says a lot of them got offended and left and didn't walk with him no more because he said he was the bread of life and you had to partake of him. And that's the way it is today. If you offended today, you're not offended because of sack lunches. You're not offended because of the bread. You're offended because of Jesus. If you're living off of compliments of everybody and you can't function unless you're always getting a compliment and people have to pat you on the back, if anybody ever criticizes you, you'll crawl up in a ball somewhere and die because you're living off of what other people are feeding you and not living off of what the Lord's feeding you. If you'll serve God with your whole heart, you're not going to let words of people discourage you. You're going to recognize the bread of life. Jesus is that bread of life. He is that living water. And when we serve him, we're going to have more than enough. It's not going to be just a sack lunch. And we're not always going to be looking at it and saying, well, what is this among so many? If God give it to you, honey, it's big enough to do the job. I remember years ago, my husband and I were in a revival meeting in Hampton, Virginia, and this evangelist got up and he was preaching, and they had passed an offering plate, and when the offering plate come around and they handed the offering to the evangelist looked down in the offering plate, and he said, this is not enough. Passed it again. And then I saw the hair begin to stand up on the back of my husband's neck, and I knew what that meant. I thought, oh, Lord, please. Oh, Lord, not here. And all of a sudden, he jumped to his feet, and he called that evangelist, and he said, mister, let me tell you something. If God don't give you but a quarter, all you need is a quarter. And I'm telling you that same thing. If you got a quarter in your pocket, God can stretch it and make it go further than a whole roll of quarters that the wicked has. There's coming a day in this land and you're going to see it. God's going to take care of his people like never before because among the people that are not looking at the sack lunch but looking at the bread, the living word of God, Jesus Christ, their needs will be met and God's going to carry them through the days that are to come. And I have to think about in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, there was a widow woman who was had a little bit of meal in a barrel and a little bit of oil, and there was a great famine in the land. But the prophet Elijah came up to Zarephath where she lived, and he walked up to her, and he asked for something to drink. And as she went to get him something to drink, he said, well, while you're there, make me a cake too. And she said, I can't do it. All I have is a handful of meal, and all I have is a little bit of cruse oil. And what she said, me and my son, we're going to eat it, and then we're going to die. I got to thinking about that. Listen, if you're going to die anyway after eating one little cake, why not go and give him a cake and go and get it over with? But you know, she said, we're going to eat it, we're going to lay down, and we're going to die. This is all we got. What is this among so many? This is the last. This is the bottom of the barrel. We don't have any more. This is it. And the prophet Elijah says, go make me a cake. And you know what? That woman was obedient, not obeying the prophet, but the word of God that came out of the prophet's mouth. And she went and done against all odds what she was told to do. And the Bible says that when she made him a cake, she looked down in that barrel, and guess what? It was enough for another, and another, and another. And the Bible says through the endurance of the whole famine, through the whole famine, the whole time that the famine lasted, the Bible says that her and her household did eat out of that barrel. Oh, the king in the palace didn't have one of them barrels. The governors in the land didn't have one of them barrels. The king in the palace didn't have one of them cruses of oil. The governors in the land didn't have one of them cruses of oil. The rich people in that land that day in the famine didn't have one of them barrels. But the widow woman down in Zarephath that obeyed the word of God had a barrel that wasn't run out. I'm asking you, what kind of barrel you got in your house? Are you got a barrel that's always empty? Or you got a barrel that's always being filled by the power of God? You got to make your mind up who you're going to trust today. Are you going to trust what you're looking at? Are your little sack lunches, your little handful of meal? Are you going to put it in God's hand and let him bless it and break it and use you as a vessel fit for the master's use? I tell you, what he did for her, he'll do for us. And don't you ever forget it. What he did on that mountain today, he'll do for us. My husband and I lived in the truck stops, and we traveled coast to coast for 36 years, and we depended on God for everything. And I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. Not something I read about, not something somebody told me, but honey, I lived it. I've seen God sending the food when we got down to the last piece of bologna. I've seen God put fuel in the truck when we cranked it up. Didn't have no money to put the rest of the fuel in, but God sent it in. God kept everything going. Why? Because what God ordains, God sustains. Oh, what God ordains, God sustains. The trouble with me and you, we got to get in his will, and we got to obey his word and do what he's called us to do. And when we read in 2 Kings, the Bible says that Elisha, a widow woman, came to him and said, Elisha, they're going to come take my two sons. My husband is dead, and I have debts that I cannot pay. And they're going to take my sons and make slaves out of them for the debt that I owe. And Elisha looked at her and said, what have you got in your house? She didn't have money. She didn't have nobody to help her. She was desperate. She'd come to a desperate situation. Oh, but I tell you what, when you get down to the bottom, that's when God's getting ready to show up. Oh, don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. And she told Elisha, she said, all I got is a little bit of oil. That's all I got. And he said, take your empty vessels that you got and go bar, not a few, go bar as many vessels as you can. And that's exactly what she did. She went out and obeyed the prophet. She went out and barred as much vessels as she could. She bought them in her house and she shut the door. You know, sometimes you just got to shut the door on the devil because he'll try to come in and steal your blessing. He'll try to come in and tell you you're crazy. It ain't going to work. But let me tell you, it ain't going to work for them, but if you obey God, it's going to work for you. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And the Bible says she began to pour, and she began to pour, and she poured, and she poured. She took what little she had, and she obeyed the word of God, and every empty vessel in the house, when she got through, was filled. She sold the oil. She had enough money to pay her debts and to live on. I'm telling you, if you pour out what you got, if you won't look at the lack, but you look at the power of God, God will supply all your need. God will fill your house with what you need. You're not going to lose your sons and your daughters and your children and your grandchildren, but God will make a way for you. But you got to obey the word of God. You got to do what God's word said. I'm talking to some of you, you hadn't cracked the Bible in years. You carry it to church. You got it in the back window of your car. It's just for looks or it's just for an ornament in your house. You got to just be engulfed in the word of God. You got to devour the word of God. You got to know the word of God. You got to take it and apply it to it. What he did for one, he'll do for another. If God tells you to get empty vessels, go get empty vessels. If God tells you to give that last lunch you got, give it to him. If God tells you to make a cake, the last little bit you got, make it, and God will supply your every need. There was a time in the truck stop, my husband was talking to a truck driver, and he asked me to make him and the driver a cup of coffee, and I reached in the jar, and I had 2 teaspoons of coffee left. That's all we had. We didn't have any more. And I made them the last two cups of coffee that we had. And then in our little chapel in the kitchen part that morning, we ate the last bit of groceries we had. And my little son, he was only 8 years old then, and I told him to come here because God, we needed a miracle. And God, and he had asked for a kite and string that morning, and we didn't even have money to buy that for him. We were down to the bottom of the barrel. And within the hour, a truck driver from Oklahoma pulled up beside of us. And he said, "Where you been? I've been looking for you all across the country." And he said, "2 weeks ago, God spoke to my wife in the grocery store and told her to buy you some groceries." And when he set those boxes of groceries down on our table, laying on the top of it was a kite and string for my son. And down in it was coffee. And from that day to this day, the mobile chapel has never run out of coffee. God is always sending in. And let me tell you, 2 weeks before we ran out of groceries, 2 weeks before we even knew we was going to run out of groceries, God had the order on the way. And at the very moment we had our last breakfast and ate the last bit, God had sent in a supply. I'm telling you, what he did for one, he'll do for another. Don't limit your God. And then I think about in 1 Samuel 17, that when David come down to fight Goliath, so many people said, "What is this among so many?" But that little shepherd boy, even though his own brothers mocked him, and even though the king told him he wasn't man enough to do it, he trusted God, and he was big enough to do the job because he believed in the power of God. He knew the battle was not his battle, but it was God's battle. What do you care what people are saying to you if you got your barrel filled up? What do you care what people are saying to you if you waving the giant's head in your hand? I'm telling you, what do you want? The praise of people or the praise of God? You want the supply of people or the supply of God? I'll take the supply of God because the supply of the government is going to run out. This is what God showed me, and I want to share this prophecy with you. He said this, "He will call out the pure shepherds, and they will do with what the Saul's armies of this world could not do. The stone of the pure shepherd it is going to use. It's the cornerstone that the builders rejected, and that is Jesus." And then he told me this, "He will do greater with the obedient empty vessels what the wealth of the ungodly can't do. For a little that the righteous has is greater than the wealth of the wicked." And then he said, "The empty barrels of the obedient will produce more in the time of famine than the ungodly in their time of prosperity. And he will do with the lad's lunch what the warehouses of the ungodly cannot do." And then he said this, "Tell my people not to look to this evil generation, nor to the fullness of their storehouses, for they have been filled with the price of their filth and innocent blood that they have shed and paid for with their filth. Then their houses will soon become bare, for they have defiled my house and persecuted my anointed. Do not count their numbers, for soon they will be scattered by the judgment that is to come. But tell my people, I will show them great and mighty things in the days to come. Tell them to keep themselves from the defilement of this wicked generation." And he said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." And I'm telling you, don't look toward the warehouses of this government and the governments of the world to feed you, because soon they're going to run out. Soon they're going to get bare. But I come by to tell you that the warehouse of God never sees a vacancy. The warehouse of God never sees a deficiency. The warehouse of God is never in lack. We're not in lack when we serve God, for he can still rain manna down out of heaven. He can still give water out of the rock. He can still send the cloud to keep you covered in the daytime, and he can still send the fire by night to keep you warm. Don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. Don't look toward man. Look towards God, because your God will never fail you. The arm of flesh is weak and will let you down. But I'm saying, we look too many times at the barrel and not at the hand that fills the barrel. We look and we need to praise him for his mercy and his goodness. Praise him for what he's done in our lives, and do the work that he has called us to do. So many times people are not grateful for what God has done for them. If you can't be thankful for what you already have, I'm sorry to tell you this, but it can't send in nothing else. You got to be thankful, and you got to praise Him. You need to break out into praise right now. You need to quit looking at the lunch that you got, and quit looking at the barrel, and quit looking at the Goliath in your life, because the same God that sent the little shepherd boy named David down out of the field that day. Oh, that same God is still working on our behalf. I don't care how big Goliath might look. Oh, just one little smooth river rock stone took him down. Because David said, and I love what King David, oh, he was had already been anointed king, but he hadn't taken the throne. He was just a 17-year-old boy. And this is what he said that day. He made a statement before he killed the Goliath. He said, today, listen up to what David said. He said, today the world will know, the earth will know. He said, the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. And I'm declaring that today. I'm telling you, the earth today will know there's a God in my heart. I pray that you can say the same thing. The earth will know that there's a God in Blondie Gregory's life. I'm blessed coming in, and I'm going to be blessed going out. I've always quoted that scripture that in heaven will be known as we're known, and I always took it to ask that people would know our names and recognize us, and I'm sure that will be true as well, but I believe we'll be known by the work that we've done. I believe we'll be known by the barrels that we stood by in faith and believed God to fill. I believe that we'll be known by the Goliath that we stood in front of and said, today the earth will know there's a God in Israel. The battle's not my battle, the battle is God. The trouble with you trying to fight your own battle and you can't do it. You got to let go of it and let God take over. As R.W. Shambach used to say all the time, he was a tent revival man. He would say, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. And I come by to tell you right now, take courage in your heart. Nothing's too hard for God. He rolled back the Red Sea. He shut the mouths of the lion. He calmed down the furnace and it went hurt Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He kept Nehemiah on the wall. I tell you, God, He's able to meet and supply our every need. And we don't need to be afraid or disencouraged, but we need to stand on the authority of God's word and not back off and not quit and not give up, but know that our God is able. I pray that the message has encouraged your heart. I pray that you won't be disheartened by what's going on around you, and you won't get your eyes on the lack, but you get your eyes on our provider. He is our Jehovah Jireh. He provides. He's our all-sufficient one. He's our healer. He's our peace. He's a God over us. Don't be discouraged and don't be dismayed, because our God is a mighty God. God bless you today. If you have a prayer request, write me and I promise to pray for you. And if these broadcasts have been any kind of a blessing to you and God lays on your heart to help, anything would be an encouragement. God bless you today. And remember that little is much when God is in it, and there's no such a thing as lack when Jesus shows up. God bless you today. Have a marvelous day in Jesus.